818, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-610-8088, TeheboteeClub.com.
Bitcoin. Most of us have heard of it by now, but do you really understand what it is? What about money? Where does it come from and what gives it value? Money is changing, and today it's just like the early 1990s. The internet is here, but very few people understand what is about to happen. Don't get left behind this time. Tune in to Cryptocurrency with Matthew J. Moore and listen to America's Bitcoin-focused radio show every Monday at 7 a.m. right here on 106.5 FM or 1050 a.m. KCAA.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 a.m., the station that leaves no listener behind.
I know that sounds like the L.A. Lakers. Oh, yeah, there's no stopping us now. But I'll tell you what, it takes discipline. This whole thing is about discipline. This whole thing is about making a commitment and sticking with that commitment. And it's not easy to do. That's why it's such a benefit when it occurs. It's like there are things that we know are good for us to do, and there are things that we know are not good for us to do. There's things that we have to kind of grow into the knowledge of understanding, and there's just some things that probably we're born knowing that it's not good to do. I don't know what some of those things are, because I think we're taught most of the things in life that are good for us and not good for us. That's why one of the big issues that we have in society right now is, you know, what do we let people tell our children? What do we let people provide our children with in terms of orientation about how to get along with the rest of the world? Usually we would say, well, you know, it's up to the parent. But, man, right now our vision is distracted. Our natural vision is distracted by marketers, by people who are telling us what to eat, what to drink, how to think, all of that stuff. And I'm part of that deal. I'm here to kind of help guide you along the values that I think are cool, and hopefully, you know, we're in agreement on most things. But as I was speaking to my son this morning, we're not supposed to agree and see everything the same way, because we're not standing in the same place. So we need each other's opinion. We need each other's view to understand what's going on. One of the things we're talking about is tobacco. Well, Pop, you know, there's indigenous people who use tobacco for religious and rituals. And I say, yeah, I understand all of that. I said, well, that's not the people we're talking about. We're talking about the people who are making our kids want to smoke cigarettes. So I said, you got two beautiful daughters. Are you on smoking cigarettes and chewing tobacco? Well, no, well, of course not. So those are, you know, we make decisions, and we want to stand by those. Our federal government made a semi-decision in 2009, said they're going to ban tobacco and flavored cigarettes and things of that sort. My son said, well, that was just a threat to make the tobacco companies give up some more money to fight tobacco, or pretend to fight tobacco. I said, well, we're a civilized nation, son. We got to be transparent. We got to go in both directions on this thing. So we have battles that are based on our being civilized, and how are we going to work this out? Well, when you start trying to get my kids to smoke cigarettes and chew tobacco, I don't think that's very civilized. We need to do something about that. So we've got groups, we've got state laws. We're here in the state of California. We've got a situation where we've got the federal laws, you've got the state laws, and then we're encouraging the cities to make rules and policies that will, you know, keep our kids safe from those folks who are trying to market this tobacco, candy flavored, cute stuff. Man, I have contacted our friend Carol Magruder. She's with an organization the African American Tobacco Control Leadership Council to talk with us occasionally about this tobacco use reduction. We want to stop that. Well, they've got a thing set up now called Menthol Sunday. No Menthol Sunday. And we've got Ms. Carol Magruder and we've got Reverend Rodney Nichols to talk to us a little bit about No Menthol Sunday. Carol, how are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so happy to be with you. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you wonderfully. And
Your volume is low for me, but I want to make sure you can hear me.
Okay. You can't hear me too well?
No, it's kind of low.
Oh, turn.
And I've done all kinds of adjustments on my end, but I can hear you well enough if you can hear me okay.
Oh, we can turn it up over here. That's a lot better?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Let us know if we get too loud. I get excited over here. I don't want
to. All right.
Carol, the concept, the problem with cigarettes and tobacco, it's a problem because it's such a successful thing as far as the tobacco industry is concerned, and they make a lot of tax money, and they do a whole lot of stuff. I've got some things that we've agreed to talk about, so I want to get to talking about those, and if you've got a little time afterwards, we can explore some additional policy concerns about this about tobacco,
Okay.
And let's introduce Reverend Rodney. Is Reverend Rodney available now?
Yes, sir. I'm here this morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you not as good as I could hear Carol. Can we work on that? Let's try to get him all potted up as well. Reverend Pastor Rodney Nichols, he's pastor of the Garden of Praise Christian Fellowship. Carol, as we're waiting for them to kind of get Reverend Rodney in, could you tell us about this No Menthol Sunday? What is that all about?
Certainly. So No Menthol Sunday. So first of all, just listening to your intro, I can tell that you have been actually really reading up on this very, very complex issue that really touches every aspect of our lives as black folks in this country, in America. So there's so many different things going on, and it's confusing. And so I have enough time. It's Mother's Day. I have enough time to spend so we can try to clarify some of the confusion. But what we're here to talk about right now is No Menthol Sunday. So No Menthol Sunday is the African-American expression of World No Tobacco Day. And World No Tobacco Day is actually an international observance that's led by the World Health Organization for countries across the world, across the planet, to take a day to have a World No Tobacco Day observance. And that tobacco touches the world's lives as well. So World Tobacco Day falls on May 31st, which is not a good holiday for Americans because we have Memorial Day, and that bumps up against it 3 or 4 years out of 7. So we as African Americans said, well, let's take it out and let's have our own expression. And No Menthol Sunday is really about getting our spiritual and religious institutions to get on board to stop the number one killer of African Americans, of black people in this country, taking 45,000 souls every year directly, and that's not including secondhand smoke. And then if I pass away, the effect that has on my family as we go into Mother's Day here, the importance of our mothers and our grandmothers and our families. And that's who is that. Those are the people that are being stolen from us by the tobacco industry cartel, I call them. So that's what No Menthol Sunday is.
Number one killer of African Americans, tobacco related health issues.
Yes, more than everything else that we think of as a problem combined. So that's more than the other forms of cancer that are non-related, car accidents, homicide, officer-involved shootings, car accident,
suicide.
More than all of those things combined. Suicide, yes, all of that combined.
That's amazing. I remember, however, the first time, I grew up in an era where there was smoking areas in our high school. I mean, we guys walked around with a pack of cigarettes rolled up in their shirt sleeve, just like we saw on TV, like we saw in the movies. And it was not, it wasn't banned, it was encouraged. You know, even at 18, you know, we were expected to go sneak and buy some beer and smoke some cigarettes.
And it was acceptable. Right. And it was considered a rite of passage.
Like this is what you do to become an adult,
to become a man or to become a woman. And that's one of the things that the tobacco industry has really been able to tie into is that, you know, the rebelliousness of youth. The rite of passage that this is, you know, you're a real man now, you're a real woman, and these are the things that you do, which is to start the long path of killing yourself.
Yeah, but that's the power of marketing, the power of being told what to do at a young enough age. I mean, I guess this is why we do a lot of things to young people, put them in the army, put them in a lot of, you know, before they get to thinking well. But then again, we find that some of these people get 65 and 70, and there's, you know, that's what they want. You know, along with their oxygen tank, bring me a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
So the concept
is a testament to the power of the addiction.
Yes, it is. So the idea of going into the churches where we operate basically on faith is probably a good thing. So give me again the date of the No Menthol Sunday.
And so the actual date for us that we celebrated is May 21st. So that's a Sunday, a week, I guess, next Sunday. And so May 21st, what we say, we want No Menthol Sunday can be every day. So we, as a Christian, we celebrate on Sundays, but we encourage our Muslim people of faith, our Jewish people of faith, the Seventh-day Adventists. So whatever day is your day to celebrate your higher being, your higher power, we want to encourage this conversation, and the conversation leads to actions, because once people of faith and people of courage really learn about the complex issues of this whole scenario that's been visited upon us, they get involved, and that's the point, is we need our churches, we need our religious faith institutions involved to fight back against the tobacco industry and what they've been doing to us.
My memory of Reverend Vonador at Mount Olive Baptist Church, where I was baptized when I was 8-9 years old, kind of indicated, and Pastor Nichols, I'm talking to you now, kind of indicated that we come in on Sunday to charge up, and you're supposed to keep the message.
Yeah, basically.
You're supposed to keep that message. I'm not here to just, are you not, young Allen boy, you ain't supposed to just be good on Sunday. You're supposed to take
that's
what
it.
We talk to you on Sunday and carry this all the way through the week. And that's
right.
How, and I guess with this No Tobacco Sunday, that's where we wanted to go as well. Pastor Nichols, why is this such an issue for you and your church to get involved with No Menthol Sunday?
Well, speaking from the standpoint of, or the point of view of an asthmatic, I'm someone with asthma, and that is the worst thing that you can literally be connected to, be around a bunch of people that's smoking, because not only does it trigger asthma, it'll trigger you're already struggling with your lungs trying to breathe, but then when you're around that. Then the other thing is, when you have people that are more focused, when I saw somebody buy some cigarettes a couple of days ago, and cigarettes at $10 a pack.
Man.
And I'm like, so you really, really, really this addicted to this that you'll spend $10 on helping yourself become sick. And I don't get it. But it's important to us, especially not just an asthmatic, but I'm also a vocalist. And when I have my young people that are coming up in the ranks of singing, and I share with them, you know, don't alter by trying to fit in. Don't alter your livelihood. Don't alter your abilities to be a blessing by trying to fit in with someone doing something that you know is not good for you, something that's harmful for you. So that tobacco, that smoke in these different flavors and all this other kind of stuff, it is enticing to the kids. And what we tend to try to do is we tend to try to keep them focused on things that are more positive. But at the same time, platforms like this helps them to understand just how detrimental it can be over a period of time. I'm looking at the new commercials that are out when you see the people with the trachs and all of the an oxygen tank, but we still don't find enough of our people that are heeding those warnings.
I remember seeing that commercial, I don't know, it seems like 900 years ago at this point, but the first time I saw that commercial where the lady put the cigarette directly into her throat,
right.
I had been trying to be cute with a cigarette. But after that one, I said, oh, no, no, we got to do something else to be cute. This is not going to work. But it's interesting how people respond to the message. Pastor Nichols, while you're, this will be your second No Menthol Sunday? How does that work with the church?
No, this will actually be our first one actually being active.
Okay, so how do you anticipate bringing this message, mixing it in, and once again, is your target audience the younger people or the older souls?
You know what? The message is across the board the same for everyone. We would put more emphasis on our younger, because right now they're the ones that's under the most peer pressure to try to be like them, especially with the candy flavors, e-cigarettes, and all of this other stuff. They're more easily susceptible to falling into that just because of the pressure that they have with their friends and things around school. So the message across that would simply be, when the Bible says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, sharing with them that not just cigarettes and the different things, or should we say, not just the known sins that people talk about that pollute our body, but put emphasis on, this is one that people don't believe is bad for you, because it's what do they call it? It's legal to smoke a cigarette, so how could it be bad for you? What's wrong with it?
You don't
we
believe,
have to drive them.
When they give us that answer, it's kind of hard not to turn your eyes sideways and look at them and say, come on.
Exactly.
I mean, how can you breathe it in, cough three or four times, and blow it out, and tell me that it's good for you? Of course, I guess one of the cigarette companies used to say that it's good for you, good to you, and good for you. And people and marketing. I think the thing is that many of us feel that our government is going to protect us and not let anybody lie to us about anything commercial, because at some point we used to hear reports about a consumer protection agency and understood that there were going to be people out there that stopped us from hearing messaging that was harmful to us ultimately. But we're a democracy. That doesn't happen. Now, you guys had a virtual No Menthol Sunday. How did that go? How effective do we think this is? Do we need to...
Well, we do. Our No Menthol Sunday events, that every year they're just growing exponentially. So many of us who are in the field, we have what we call a kickoff event where we really explain how you get involved as a religious or spiritual institution. So that happened on May 4th.
Okay.
But you can go to our website, which is savingblacklives.org, savingblacklives.org, and you can actually watch the video that will show you how to do it. There is also a No Menthol Sunday website. So there's still a week away. And plus, you don't have to do it on the 21st. You can do it after that. But the 21st is like our big common day. And one thing I love about our No Menthol Sunday is that you can go as big as you want or as small as you want. So you can have, I'm going to be in the Los Angeles area next Sunday. I'm going to visit some churches. You can have their scriptures, their sermons that are already focused and would help a pastor or the health committee to form exactly what they want to do on that day. And the point of this is to educate, you know, who is the audience, is to educate our church families,
mm-hmm.
but it's also to help our smokers know that there's help for them. And that, you know, when you talked about the woman who used to smoke the cigarette and through her throat, her name was Debbie, and I had the pleasure to meet her before she passed away, for her to share that this addiction is so strong that even though her larynx was taken out and she's breathing out of a hole in her neck, she was still smoking. And this is what we need people to understand. And this is why the focus on the youth, Pastor Nichols, is so important, because we have to prevent. You know, we can't let people get addicted and then help them get off. We need to prevent it before it happens. And that's what, so this is two-pronged in that it's helping to prevent our young people from trying it and getting hooked on it. And it's also to help our people like my generation who think that they can't get off of it, that they can. And there are more and more resources to help our people to get off, because we want to work on the supply and we want to work on the demand. And that's mm-hmm. where our faith institutions come into play, because they're in the community and they can also help offer some of the services that are going to be coming out as we're bringing services to the community level.
So I would imagine that in the church and any other institution, and as a salesman, I know that telling people what to do is not usually successful. Telling my kids what to do, I mean, whereas if I ask the right question, maybe their answer will lead them in the direction we want to go. Why do we smoke? I don't know. I'm thinking about church, and I'm thinking about, you know, how can the pastor influence people to not smoke? I don't know. We ask for testimonials about many other things, maybe some testimonials about the benefits of smoking, and we find that nobody can stand up and give us.
You're right about it.
Okay. All right, Tucker. Now, then we got a bunch of cigarette smokers out here, I'm sure, and there's people telling us that don't smoke. Can I have somebody stand up and tell us the benefits of smoking? I'm sure that there is some great benefit. I mean, maybe being a little sarcastic like that might help. But, Pastor, I'm going to want to talk to you and find out how you dealt with this and, you know, what the – since it's an ongoing thing, I'd like to know how you feel about – the response that you get and what we can do to support that and how we can get other members of the congregation involved in talking to each other about that, because it's what do you think, Pastor, as you anticipate this level of lesson?
That testimony idea, that's funny, that's but it's funny, but it's powerful.
Yes,
because you never look at it from that standpoint, and for a minute, you're going to have people say he's being sarcastic. But then when they stop and think about it, or you have the other people that don't smoke that are that's backing that, they're saying, yeah, yeah. Now you have the attention of the young folks, because now they're trying to – they're looking at it being one way, but the seed is being planted another.
You're right.
So they're looking at it as being, okay, what's getting ready to happen, not realizing that the positive seed of those that are not smoking that's in agreement with that is planting that seed for them to know that smoking is bad. It's not something that is supported. It's not something that's going to be celebrated, but we are paying attention to it and we are taking note of it. And this is what we encourage you not to do.
Right. And Ms. Carroll.
So it's going to be interesting, but you have to have something. One good thing is we have several nurses that are in our congregation, and I have several school teachers. And the good thing about that is being able to come up with clever ways, because commercials are very clever when they're getting the attention, especially of the children, because they hit the kids at where they are. They hit the kids at what they love. And with that being said, they're more attracted to something that they enjoy. And so we have to make it just as attentive and as attractive for them to pay attention to the don't do as the commercials.
You got to give them something. Got to give them something if you're going to take something away.
Exactly.
And we started this effort almost 30 years ago, the tobacco reduction. So there's been a progress on this thing. And at the same time, we got progress. In 2009, the federal government said no more. We banned it. And the lobbyists from the tobacco company came back and said, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. And even in the state of California now, I understand, it says no tobacco, no menthol sales. But at the same time, we're not criminalizing the people who smoke. And, Pastor, like you said, you were in the store the other day and saw somebody buying cigarettes. Carol, there seems to be some type of conflict on the rules here. What kind of progress are we really making?
So there's tons of progress, but we know that the industry always is going to fight back, and they're going to come back with something different and something new. So let me just go through the history a little quickly. In 2009, when President Obama signed the Tobacco Control Act, that gave the FDA the authority to regulate the tobacco industry, all flavors of combustible cigarettes were taken off of the market, except for menthol. Now, black people aren't the only people that smoke menthol, but 80 to 90% of black people who smoke a mentholated product, because those products were seeded and planted in our community. They were given away to our children as young as 9 years old. They co-opted our media. They are organizations. They gave money through philanthropy, and they brought this wall of silence. Mm-hmm. So when the Tobacco Control Act was signed, and menthol was left in, then all the advocates and folks like myself, we rallied ourselves and we began to engage our federal government. In the interim, the European Union took menthol off the market. Canada, our neighbor to the north, took menthol off the market. Ethiopia, Brazil. And so none of these countries have fallen into the sea. But when it came to America, all of a sudden it mattered that black people smoked menthol, and people who didn't know the history thought that they were trying to do something to us because we like menthol and they're trying to take menthol away when they left menthol in. And menthol, it numbs your throat. It's an analgesic, so it's a painkiller, and it helps your body suppress its natural reaction to what happens when you put smoke in people's lungs, which will make them cough and choke. So that's the purpose that the menthol does. So we're not advocating for people to go up and smoke non-menthol, but if you take the menthol out, that's what helps the poison to go down into your body easier.
And all of these are additives that they give.
They are additives.
If you're, and I'm not an advocate for smoking tobacco, but if you were smoking tobacco straight out of the fields, I don't know, but I think that's a different kind of circumstance, and it probably is not healthy for you, but it certainly is not as harmful.
It's a different animal because the tobacco industry, they have researched cigarettes to make them as addictive as possible. The way the filters, the way the air flows in, the different they have acetaldehyde. They have things that basically make you freebase the nicotine so that it passes the blood-brain barrier quicker. And all of this is by design. And so that's why we need, you know, we have to cut off the supply, but we also have to really educate our people that they need to do what it takes to get off of these deadly products that are killing us. And so our state has invested money. And I tell smokers, you've already paid for these services because you're paying a tobacco tax, and that's paying for these services to help you. So you should go on and partake in them because you've already paid for them. And so we have the Kick It California, which is online, kickitca.org, will take you to a counselor, an individual counselor for you. The number that people can call who still like the phone is 800-300-8086. That's 800-300-8086. You can text, if you want it for the texters, to 66819. You can text, I Can Quit. And that will engage a system that you have already paid for and that you need to take advantage of so that you can have a happy and a healthy life, and your family will have you and be able to enjoy you as you age.
One of the questions that my son asked this morning, he says, well, Pop, if the people stop smoking, the folks who are having a job telling us to stop smoking won't have a job anymore. So are they really sincerely trying to get people to stop smoking? I said, son, I believe that these people that are involved in getting you to stop smoking will find another job. And
we are trying to put ourselves out of work.
Right.
We are trying to put ourselves out of work, yes.
And I'd liken that to the, you know, coming up, when I was coming up, it was the revolution, you know, and our revolution was one that said, since we didn't like the way things were going, if you were able to get hired by one of the places that was affecting the negative, your job was to lose the job because you were there to change the circumstance. And I have no problem understanding why we would be willing to lose whatever money that tobacco was giving us if tobacco would just go away.
Yeah, but we can. I just imagine the money that smokers spend, how many college educations that could pay for, how many homes that could buy, because we spend up billions of dollars on tobacco products that are killing us. So, yes, we want to put ourselves out of business, the people who work in this field. And the other thing, you know, when I'm lecturing all over the country, it's changing, but our public health system is kind of like the criminal defense system. Criminal justice system, we're the defendant. And there are a whole bunch of people around us who make a living off of our misery. They're judges and bailiffs and correctional officers and sheriffs and police. And then on the public health side of it, we have researchers and you know, we're funding millions of dollars of tobacco centers of regulatory science. And we're talking about, pontificating about, the dangers of this product and the nuances of it. When we know this kills us, and we don't need any more research, we don't need any more proof, and we need people to believe that and to do what it takes to get these people out of our community, because they're killing us, but they're also pillaging us, because they're taking millions of dollars of our resources and they're putting it in their pockets when that money could be going into our community.
That's one of the big issues, is what do we do with our knowledge? Do we use our knowledge to support those things that are good for us, or do we use our knowledge to justify our ignorance? And that's something that we have to be real concerned about. When I say that, when I say that, I want to once again throw, as I do every Sunday, the responsibility to the individual. Because as much as we would like to say the government is here to protect us, as much as we know that our parents want to protect us, we get to a certain point in life where we realize that the protection is going to be based on how much critical thinking we place and utilize as we put ourselves through life. The idea of education, the concept, goes back to slavery, where it was against the law to even teach a black person how to read. Why? Because reading and learning will expose you to another level of thinking, an opportunity to think, to protect yourself, and more than that, to contribute to the society that we're operating in. We need each other, and we need to be able to bug each other when we see each other doing something crazy. If I'm talking to you and you see a little hanging in my nose, Carol, you know, and if you don't tell me, and I go look in the mirror later, and I say, "Man, I was talking to Carol. She didn't tell me I look like that." I'm not going to trust you. And this is why it's important for us to tell the truth to our loved ones, to the people that respect us. We can do. How do I look in this dress? What, is this a good looking coat? Well, you know, the coat is looking good hanging on the hanger. But there's something about the way you've been taking care of your body, and I'm not body shaming, but you did ask me how you look. And so we have to, we need to be willing to tell the truth and bite the bullet. It's Mother's Day. And I know that mothers that care don't want their kids smoking, and they don't want anybody smoking around them, and they don't want any smoke in the room when the kids come in 3 days after you were smoking. So I commend you for what you're doing. You're celebrating. Carol, are you a mother?
I'm a mother, and I'm here in Atlanta. I'm in California, but I'm here in Atlanta with my daughter. I came to spend Mother's Day with her, so she came here to go to Clark, to go to an HBCU and stayed. Well, so I am a mother, and I'm also an auntie, and I mother everybody. So as I've gotten older, I mother everybody, whether they want to be mothered or not.
That's right. That's right.
I'm mothering it as I go.
We appreciate that.
You know, and I want to say I lost my mom to breast cancer. She's been gone about 25 years, and it was painful. But if to think of, you know, if there had been an entity, like we're doing research on what causes breast cancer and how do you keep from getting it. We know what kills people from tobacco. And it would be like if we looked at it in the way that if someone was selling breast cancer in a corner store, someone everywhere you went, they were trying to entice you to do something that would cause you to have breast cancer. We would think that that was crazy. That would be unacceptable to have stores in our communities that sell our children breast cancer. But that's what we allow to happen, and that's this fight that we're in. It's about changing the community norm. So that it's not normal to have all these liquor and cigarette stores in our community.
No,
it's not normal for when you get a certain age, this is what you do. So it's about the norm, and that's where our churches, I'm just so excited, come in, because it's about changing that narrative and for really to open people's eyes to see that we can't have our elected officials taking money from the tobacco industry. We can't have our colleges taking money from the tobacco industry, because they're pimping us. They're taking $10 out of our community, and they give us back a nickel.
So we're trying to teach our children to have a morality,
to have
a morality that they don't necessarily see evidenced in the leadership of our nation. Ethics at the highest level is being discussed. now in terms of our Supreme Court, in terms of those people that we have elected to represent us, those people who've been elected to represent a certain attitude who get to Congress or get to wherever their elected state is and say, oh, I'm going to be somebody else now because I decided to do that. So there's this level of built-in reasoning for mistrust from the so-called leadership, and that's a battle that we have to fight. And we have to fight that and understand that people have a reason to look at us a little sideways if we're representing the so-called bureaucracy or the so-called government or those folks who supposedly care. Within that framework, there are people who care. But also in that framework, we've got George Santos. We've got people who just glory in the lie.
Yes.
And so the critical thing, it's unfortunate, but it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
no,
not,
it's
new. Critical thinking, education is our answer for dealing with ignorance and folks who want to just distract you from the truth so that they can manipulate you to their benefit. But it's Mother's Day. I appreciate your message. I love what you're doing, Pastor Nichols. I understand that you've got to do what you do and get them to stop smoking at the same time. I'm all for it, brother, if we can make that happen. Listen, we're going to go on. I'm going to talk to people a little bit about Mother's Day and a little bit more about the responsibility of taking care of ourselves so that we can.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate your organization. And we will definitely invite you back, hopefully, to talk about something else because people just threw their cigarettes away and decided not to smoke anymore. And
so the FDA is supposed to pull these products off the market in the whole U.S. this year. So please have me back when that happens.
Very good. But meanwhile, we try
to happen.
Talk to
meantime,
people.
Meantime, we do everything we can. We don't stop until it's done.
Get those people to leave that stuff on the shelf. This is Empire Talks Back. I'm Wallace Allen. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to tell you about a great place to go for your Mother's Day buffet. We're going to talk to Miss Shiloh over at Cafe Organics and kind of get your taste buds bumping about what you could do later on this afternoon. God bless you. We're going to be right back.
Publish your legal notice in West Side Story newspaper. For the best service and the best rates, call 909-384-8131. Publishing legal notices in the city and county of San Bernardino since 1990. West Side Story provides friendly expert service. Call 909-384-8131 to benefit from budget-friendly rates. Whether a fictitious business name, a name change, a divorce summons, or any other legal or public notice, call West Side Story Newspaper, 909-384-8131. 909-384-8131. That's 909-384-8131.
Ba-da-da. Yeah, this is Empire Talks Back. I'm Wallace Allen here on the case for truth and justice with the right information to help improve the situation. I know that today is Mother's Day. I want to encourage you guys to have a great time on Mother's Day. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my mother in a moment. But meanwhile, is this Shiloh?
Hi, Dr. Wallace. This is Shiloh over here at Cafe Organics. How are you?
Very good. I understand you guys are having a party over there all day today.
We are. We do have Valentine on the keyboard and doing some guitar, live music, and then all-you-can-eat vegan brunch.
Okay, so we got live music. We've got a beautiful Sunday and a Sunday on the Sunday, and you got a nice, beautiful patio right there at, 420 East Hospitality Lane. And you got the buffet today. So what's special about the meal today that you're giving? Because it's always great food over there. So what are you doing special for Mother's Day?
Well, we are 100% plant-based. No animal byproducts here at our cafe at all, but we have eggs, we have bacon, we have sausage, waffles, French toast, our whole menu just bite size.
And it's all plant-based, though we can cook, so we'll say sausage, we may even say chicken, but it's plant-based, right? And it's and I just got off to, you know, my message earlier was today was about tobacco and how terrible it is for you and unhealthy, blah, blah, blah. So to be able to send people over to a place where the food is delicious, the flavor is amazing, and it's not, it's plant-based. So tell us what time your buffet is and how much it costs, and let's see if we can't get some folks over there to enjoy a good, healthy meal as well as a good tasting meal today.
Sure, yeah. So we're over here at 420 East Hospitality Lane, Suite A as an Apple 10 in San Bernardino, California. That's right off the I-10 and Hospitality Lane. Our all-you-can-eat brunch is $35 for adults. Children under 10 is $15. And everything is first come, first served. So try to get here as soon as possible to get on that waiting list, okay?
Very good. No reservations available?
Nope.
Okay, so you got to get on over there, and I hope it's not a big line, but I hope it's a big line.
I think we're looking at about 30, 45-minute wait right now.
Okay, 30, 45-minute wait, and that's right now. And how late will you be going?
We see our last group at 1 o'clock. But we also have a live music, a jazz player, and comedy show this evening from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m.
That's afternoon. That's not this evening.
Yeah,
that's this afternoon. And we don't have
a
Laker game today.
No, it's not all you can eat, but you will be able to come in and fill your plate. You do get two mimosas with the purchase of these tickets. It's $60 at the door. Pre-sale is over, unfortunately. But it's comedy, it's jazz. You can stay. There's no time limit on your table.
But you said,
come out and see us.
All the tickets are sold already?
All of the pre-sale tickets are sold. But if you just want to come see the show, you can just buy a ticket to see the show and not have to get food.
I'm late again.
Okay. Again, we stop seating at 1 o'clock for our all-you-can-eat brunch. But we do have a live show with comedy, a saxophone player. It's going to be beautiful from 3 to 7 p.m. First come, first serve on seats with that as well. But if you just want to see the show, you can just buy tickets for the show, which I believe is $30 at the door.
All right, let me see if there's a hack for this. Is the band going to be inside or outside?
The band this evening will be outside.
Uh-oh.
Our live music today Uh-oh. Is inside.
Uh-oh. Okay, so I could either say this while I'm on the phone with you, or I could say it after you're gone. But I could say that if he's going to be playing outside and it's really crowded in there, you could almost be parked across the street or down the street.
You better stop. Come and support. Don't listen to him. You better come and support a black-owned business out here. Bring your mom and show her you don't mind spending money on her. Come on. You better stop, Mr. Wallace.
Okay. All right. Okay. Woo, I didn't mean to say that, but, you know.
Or come by, at least buy a drink with us.
Come on in and buy a drink.
We got great cocktails.
Yeah,
you know. We got beer. We got wine. We got champagne.
Come dropping some money in the tip cup for the band or something. You know,
yeah, come see us. I'm working on Mother's Day. Yeah. And I got sick.
And happy Mother's Day to you, Miss Shiloh.
Thank you so much, sir.
Not a problem.
And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there who can't make it.
Yeah, you're reminding
me. We love you all.
You're reminding me now. But I know you got to get back to work.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how it's going to work out, but we're gonna bum rush you about 3 o'clock, the
okay.
Islands.
All right, well, come see us, okay? We'll talk to you soon.
All right, love you. Thank you so much.
Well,
all right.
We love you guys, too. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, guys, there it is. You know, even at the late date, there's something that can happen, and it's going to be a great time over there at Cafe Organics. Really great people, and I do advise that, you know, if you can't get in all the way in, it doesn't hurt to stop by and drop a few bucks in the tip cup or something. But, you know, people are people. And if I can hear the music from across the street, I probably will. Especially if there's a bunch of people already there. And we want to have a great time today. This is a great time, a perfect day to do it. I want to talk a little bit about mothers. You know, first of all, the mother that has only one child is probably as busy with that one child as the mother who has three or four children, because the mother with three or four children has kind of learned how to handle the kids. But spreading the love, that's the major thing. Now, my mother has two children, and I kiddingly tease my sister and say, well, yeah, but that's my love. Love her. Mama loves her. And she makes us all feel like, you know, we're the super special one. I know she whispers in my sister's ear that she's the favorite, and she'll whisper in my ear that I'm the favorite. But that's because she had a father. My mother had a father, my grandfather. They had 12 children, and each and every one of them, if we could step to the side with them right now, and each one of them will say, yep, Papa loved me more than he loved the rest of them. Because that's the way he made them each feel. And how you can have 12 children and in the same room have them all think that I'm his favorite. That's how you give the love. And it's an amazing thing. Now, my mother was, you know, when we were growing up, my mother was the kind of person that, you know, if I brought home a new girlfriend, she would always call her by the wrong name. After a week or two, she's still calling by the wrong name. And it was funny. It was, and it kind of, but I say that to say that my mother today, those friends of mine that are still alive and kicking, they'll call my mom. They'll stop by and see her. We had the house that everyone was welcomed at. We had the house where you could stop by and eat anytime. You could stop by whether I was home or not, and my mother would treat you like you were her child. That has reward to it. It has reward that helps her avoid loneliness, that helps me feel a strength in knowing that there's other people who are helping me watch and love my mother. It's an amazing thing. Giving love is in itself rewarding because it pays you back as you enact the act. When I tell my granddaughter that I love her, I don't know how she feels, but I know it just makes me feel, oh wow, there she is, I love her. So mothers and those folks who've acted like mothers are part of the real fabric of who we are. I think if the mothers got together and went to Congress as mothers, we probably have a whole lot of things straightened out in a couple of days, because the commonness of the love that takes place from a mother to a child somehow gets diluted and moved around as we get older and start looking at other people and other people's children. But there's some magic that's available to us if we decide to use it. And I say it begins with the mother. I'm a father, but I really think mothers are more critical than the father. The things that the mother goes through during pregnancy, the attitudes, the feelings, the salutations, the morals of the mother tend to be able to attach themselves to the child. And if the father and if society stands correct and supports that, I think, you know, we'll end up with more good people than we are people who are doubting the reason for being ethical, doubting the reasons for being fair, doubting the reasons for pushing equity and transparency to their friends and family. So we've got just like we've got night and day, I think we can expect that we're going to have understanding and misunderstanding. But the opportunity to come together and make sense out of it, we have that. We really do. And I'm encouraged by the thought that we have the ability to straighten things out and make them happen. So, Eric, today is Mother's Day. What are you going to do? How are you celebrating your Mother's Day? What are you up to?
Oh, me and my bigger sister, we're going to have her over.
Is your bigger sister or older sister?
I guess older. And
Is she taller than you?
No, actually, yeah. So my older sister. we're going to have her a little brunch, mimosa brunch at her house.
Yeah.
You know, beat the crowd at all the restaurants and everything like that. So I got some bottles of her favorite champagne is the Wilson's Creek. So I got a couple of those. And then there's these other ones. It's like a... It's the Crime Wines or whatever. Have you heard of these?
I don't think I have. The Crime?
Yeah, they're like these wines that are all, every bottle's based on like a criminal. And then they have like some historical thing on the side of them. And I got a funny one that's a Martha Stewart one. So I got her that one.
So is that Martha Stewart wine influenced by her relationship with Snoop Dogg at all? Does it got any?
I think so, because you know what?
Cannabis in
Snoop Dogg actually has one as well. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think there's cannabis in this one.
Okay. Well, you never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. Well, the big thing about it is, where do you take mom? What do you get her to do? My mother is 96 years old, 97. And when we are able to talk her into going out, she doesn't want to go to new places.
Uh-huh.
She wants to go to the places that she used to go to.
All right.
Okay, as she was coming up, because she's into nostalgia now. She remembers her old friends and remembers, where she used to go. So when we go out, we're ready to go spend some money on it, right?
Yes, yeah.
But no, she doesn't want that to happen. She wants to stop by the El Cholo. It doesn't cost a lot of money, but it's where we used to go all the time, where
right.
we spend time, where we would have a lot of events. There's a breakfast place that we went to yesterday to take her, and it's up at the Farmer's Mart, but she loves it. She remembers being there with all of her friends. I think she must have mentioned about four or five good friends yesterday. Oh, and we would go here, we would go there. So we had a great day with my mother. As we have these great days, it also reminds us that there's going to be a day when she's no longer there. And folks, I want you to remember and think about that part of it as you think about the time that you have available to spend with mom now. Don't goof that off. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't just take it for granted, because one day that phone call's not going to go all the way through. And you don't want to be in a frame of mind that says, wow. And you're going to be. We all could have done better. We all could have done more. But do the best you can. Do more than you think you can, because it's going to be worth it. It's definitely going to be worth it. This is Empire Talks Back. I'm Wallace Allen. We've got a couple minutes probably for you to contemplate and think about what we're going to do, but we're going to give you a little bit of music to do that with. So we'll see you next week under two circumstances. One, the good Lord's willing. Two, the creek don't rise. Have a great day with your mom today. And call that auntie and that lady down the street who used to make your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and make you feel good and, let you sit on the porch when mom wasn't home yet. So spread the love. It's out there for you. God bless you. And put that cigarette down.
There's been so many things that held us down, but now it seems like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long way to go. Where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. Gonna put ourselves together.
Bureau of Economic Geology, this is Earth Date. Graphite, the shiny gray stuff in your pencil, has unexpected powers. When you write with it, you're scraping off a very thin layer. For decades, scientists tried to slice a layer just one atom thick, which they called graphene. But it was only 13 years ago at the University of Manchester that they succeeded. Graphene turned out to be far more miraculous than they could have ever imagined. It's the thinnest compound known to man, thousands of times thinner than the human hair. It's also the lightest, 1,000 times less dense than paper. Graphene is harder than diamonds, and 200 times stronger than the strongest steel. Its ability to conduct heat is 1,000 times greater than copper. It's also the best-known conductor of electricity at room temperature. It's impermeable to gases. Not even helium can pass through it, while being transparent, highly flexible, even stretchable. And get this, if it does get torn, it can repair itself. Not surprisingly, this incredible material will transform our lives in the future. It will lead to lighter, faster, more efficient, and much smaller electronics, lighter, stronger aircraft, new industrial products like impermeable paint, consumer products like better tennis rackets, and because graphene is carbon-based, just as we are, the biotech possibilities are too many to mention. Meanwhile, I'm placing bets on a new comic book hero, Graphene Man. You heard it here first on Earth Date. I'm Scott Tinker.
EarthDate is produced by the Bureau of Economic Geology at the University of Texas at Austin. EarthDate is researched by Julie Hennings, written by Harry Lynch, and distributed by Mark Blunt and Casey Walker. For more stories, follow us on Facebook or visit earthdate.org.
KCAA Radio has openings for one-hour talk shows. If you want to host a radio show, now is the time. Make KCAA your flagship station. Our rates are affordable and our services are second to none. We broadcast to a population of 5 million people. Plus, we stream and podcast on all major online audio and video systems. If you've been thinking about broadcasting a weekly radio program on real radio plus the internet, contact our CEO at 281-599-9800. 281-599-9800. You can Skype your show from your home to our Redlands, California studio, where our live producers and engineers are ready to work with you personally. A radio program on KCAA is the perfect work-from-home avocation in these stressful times. Just type kcaaradio.com into your browser to learn more about hosting a show on the best station in the nation, or call our CEO for details, 281-599-9800.
Guys, I've got an idea.
What's that?
What if there is a radio show?
Okay.
That talked about sports and games in a perspective unlike any other.
Yeah, like teams and schools we actually care about.
And that isn't about LeBron and Ben Simmons all the time.
And with cool guests and great interviews.
And that previewed the best games each weekend.
Yes, and to host it will be a former network sports anchor.
And a Hall of Fame coach who happens to know a bunch of college and pro coaches.
And an everyday guy, someone to speak for the common fan.
I'm liking this. Okay, now, what to call it? It's got to be big.
And, of course, it is about sports.
And we're on the radio.
That's it. Big.
Sports.
Radio.
Big Sports Radio.
Every Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on KKNW 1150.
I love when a plan comes together.
Welcome to Isla Earth. By 1999, the round goby, a harmless-looking little bug-eyed fish from the Black Sea, was found in all five of the Great Lakes, and it was wreaking havoc on the local ecosystem. The only good thing scientists could say about the goby was that it ate a lot of zebra mussels, another unwelcome visitor. Scientists knew that zebra mussels had probably come over in ballast tanks, sucked in as ships filled them with water. Did the goby get here the same way? It was an interesting idea, except for one thing. The goby is a bottom dweller, and as such is rarely seen at the surface where ships take in ballast water. But now, University of Michigan biologist David Jude and graduate student Stephen Hensler believe they've solved this mystery. They documented millions of newly hatched gobies swimming to the surface. It's synchronized swimming on a grand scale as they follow food sources and evade predators. And guess what? This happens late at night when the world's freighters are filling their ballast tanks. Next mystery to solve? How to keep the hitchhiking goby at home in the Black Sea. Learn more about invasive species at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is recorded on the campus of California State University, San Bernardino, and produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy, because Earth is an island.